For the past several weeks, we have been studying the Lord's Prayer, and today we come to the last phrase of this prayer Jesus taught us to pray. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's say that together. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you might have noticed, this phrase is not included in either the Matthew version or the Luke version in the Bible translations we commonly use. According to a Bible commentary, 10 different endings of the Lord's Prayer have been discovered, and the oldest and most trustworthy manuscripts among them do not contain this last phrase. Scholars agree that this phrase was not part of the original prayer of Jesus, but instead it was added later by the early church. Most modern Bible translations do not include this ending in the Lord's Prayer, but early Bible translations like the King James Version do so because translators back then were not aware of the existence of the oldest manuscripts which omitted this phrase. And as a result, this last phrase became included in the Lord's Prayer. So despite the fact that this phrase was not originally part of the Lord's Prayer Jesus taught his disciples, since it is the official ending of the Lord's Prayer as we have learned to pray, I felt compelled to reflect on it at the conclusion of our sermon series. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This is what is called a doxology. The dictionary defines doxology as an expression of praise to God, especially a short hymn sung as part of a Christian worship service. The Greek word for doxology is doxologia, in which two words are combined, doxa, which means glory, splendor, and logos, which means word or speaking or saying. So a doxology is simply a way of glorifying or praising God. There is a number of doxologies in the Bible, found in the Bible both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. One of them is David's doxology, which is recorded in the 1 Chronicles chapter 29. The king is praying for the gifts that people brought for building the Jerusalem temple. And here is what he says. Now I'm reading from the King James Version intentionally. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Did you notice the similarities between this doxology of David and the one found at the end of the Lord's Prayer? Words like forever, the power, the glory, thine is the kingdom appear in both doxologies. Apparently, the early church thought it was important and fitting to add an expression of praise to God at the end of the prayer of Jesus, because no prayer would be complete without glorifying God. And so it appears they simply borrowed it from the ancient doxology of David and tacked it to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, and forever. Amen. Doxologies have been an important part of the Christian church since its beginning. The Gloria Patri, so named for the first two words of the doxology in Latin, is one that is commonly used by both Catholic Church and the Protestant churches. And it dates back to the 3rd or 4th century. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. This song that we have just sung is called the Lesser Doxology, which is distributed from which is distinguished from the Great Doxology, or Gloria in Excelsis Deo. We will sing this song that we have just sung together again with the words on the screen later after our offerings are collected. Here's another doxology that is mostly sung in Protestant churches. It was written by the Anglican bishop, Thomas Ken, in 1674. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Actually, no, I'm confusing myself. There was no way for me to put the music here, music notes here, so okay. How do we sing this one? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, O creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you for helping me. And in 1978, so people thought, that doesn't sound inclusive enough. So Gilbert Vieira revised it to a more inclusive version. Praise God. Oh yeah, yes, thank you. Let's sing that together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Nowadays, many churches actually have been stopping singing these doxologies, because sometimes it feels like boring to sing the same song over and over again every week after week, right? So actually in our church, sometimes we sing these kinds of doxologies, and sometimes we sing other songs of praises, typically after offerings are collected, you know, as we dedicate them for prayer. But it is good to sing these both old and new songs of doxology. So now let's return to the doxology found at the end of the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This doxology that we say whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer helps take our attention away from ourselves and place it on God. We are not praying for our kingdom, our power, and our glory, but for whose kingdom? God's kingdom, God's power, and God's glory. It is not about us, but about whom? God. After all is said and done, we are placing our trust in the hands of God. As we step out in faith to face the challenges of life, we behold the power and glory, the majesty of the one in whom we live, we move, and we have our being. By saying, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," we are acknowledging God's authority to exercise God's sovereignty over all things and placing everything in the hands of God, who sustains and guides us through our challenges. With this doxology, we are professing our belief that God is in control, not us. We are acknowledging that God is at the center of all things in life, and that everything in our lives will be done not through our own power, but through whose power? God's power and God's help. The Bible tells us that God's people were blessed with a glimpse of God's power and might whenever their faith was challenged by momentous events in life. During their 40-year journey in the wilderness, the Israelites were guided by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which God provided for them. Shortly after, Jesus talked about his death to his disciples. He took Peter, the core group of, among his 12 disciples, he took three, Peter, James, and John, to a mountaintop and allowed them to witness God's power and majesty through his transfiguration. The Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, was a demonstration of God's power and majesty for Jesus' disciples and other followers who were hiding in fear even after they were visited by the risen Christ. And here is the good news. Even today, God blesses God's children with glimpses of God's power and majesty. And those of us who have seen a glimpse of God's glory cannot shy away from sharing it. There is too much at stake. Too many do not know anything about our mighty yet merciful God. Too many are living in darkness. Too many are suffering alone without hope in brokenness and pain. And in seeking to reach others with the good news which has saved us, we discover new purpose and new direction in our own lives as well. Mike, One of the 18 adults in the Bike and Build team that stayed at our church Friday night shared with me about his personal mission that he had discovered soon after the special journey began. He was the only Christian on the team, believe it or not. He said, "I was shocked. There was one more person who was born in the church, but soon drifted away from the church. I was the only Christian, only person who can say I'm a Christian." For the last 2.5 months, he made every effort to share his faith with them in words and in actions. As a result, he's not sure what kind of changes he has made yet, though he planted lots of seeds of gospel in the hearts of his fellow bikers. But as a result, something happened with this. He became convinced that God is leading him to go to the seminary. As he was talking about his experience and his plan for a seminary, I noticed his eyes were welling up with tears. Now, let us go to the last word on the Lord's Prayer. As we do with other prayers, we end this prayer Jesus gave us to pray with Amen. The great reformer Martin Luther said this about the last word in the Lord's Prayer. Amen means, yes, yes, it will be done. When we say amen, we are telling God, I believe, O God, I believe that you will, not you might, you will answer our prayers. You will answer our prayers, not because of who we are, but or what we have done, but because of who you are and for what you have done. Indeed, God will answer our prayers. Do you believe that? Amen? God will answer our prayers, no matter how depressing and bleak the reality in our lives is. It is not the end of the story. Our hope is in the future, in the fulfillment of God's kingdom and God's will. When all is said and all done, our God will have the final word. That is the promise we have in the cross and in the empty grave, our Lord Jesus Christ. Not even death can claim victory over God's plans for us and the rest of God's creation. In the meantime, as we wait for God's kingdom and will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we continue to pray this model prayer Jesus taught us to pray because it gives us a glimpse of how we, his followers, are to live in the world in our daily living. The Lord's Prayer is a call to live a life of abundance and generosity. It is a call to live a life of forgiveness and reconciliation. It is a call to live a life of trust in God's provision and protection. It is a call to live not by the standards of our own little worlds, but by the standards of God's mighty kingdom. It's a call to seek not our will, but God's will. It is a call to live not by our own power, but by God's power. It is a call to live not for our own glory, but for God's glory. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we know that this prayer is not just our own personal prayer. This prayer is a prayer that countless Christian believers have prayed throughout the history of the church. A cloud of witnesses goes before us, testifying to God's power and might and their experience of transformation. And by joining their heavenly chorus, we too will be a pillar of cloud and fire by which those in the wilderness will be led to encounter the living God. So let us continue to pray this powerful prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Let us continue to pray the Lord's Prayer. How many times a day? Yeah, someone said twice, someone said three times. Yes, twice, that's right. I ask you to pray at least twice a day. As soon as you open your eyes, say it. And before you fall asleep, say it. And if you remember to pray one more time after your lunch, or after sometime during the day, in the afternoon, early afternoon or so, pray one more time. As Jesus, the first Jesus disciples did in their time, as Jesus did also. Let us continue to pray this prayer as we have been throughout the sermon series. Let us pray this prayer, continue to pray this prayer this week and for many, many weeks and years to come, as long as God allows us to take a breath on earth. Amen.